Well, a very good evening to you, and thank you for tuning into Terrace Talk here on Radio Kerry this really wet Monday evening. My God, the floods are on the road already, and I'd say the pitchmen are out, I'd say, all over Kerry, I suppose, looking at their fields and wondering, will training go ahead tonight, or will it, or matches go ahead even tonight? Anyway, Donal Barry back with you for the next 2 hours, and we'll reflect back, I suppose, at the weekend's action in the Islands Football League and the Hurling League as well. And we'll also take a look back at the Kerry Ladies Little National Football League clash there with Cork on St. Patrick's Day. And in the second hour, we catch up with some of the happenings, of course, in athletics in the county with Tomás Griffin. And we chat to Olivia Scully as well, she's the Regional Development Officer with Athletics Ireland. So plenty to talk about there as well. Now give us a call, 066 712-3666. Or you can text us or WhatsApp us on 083 300 3300 and help us be part of the show, I suppose. And again, I really appreciate take the time that you take each week to listen to us here. And really appreciate those texts as well and comments and some in already. I must say you're getting really well trained. Comments coming in ahead of the show, which is fantastic. And a big thank you to all those that I've met over the weekend. There's great feedback for the show out there. And you know, anytime you want to see us, talk to us, give us a shout, and we'd be happy to hear your views. Now, Kerry picked up a vital win over Roscommon in Tralee on Saturday evening. David Clifford's first half goal. I suppose the difference between the sides is the Kingdom kept their good form at home and moved 6 points in Division 1 of the National Football League. Now, they still have an outside chance, I suppose, of getting to a league final, and we might chat about that there later on. But two men who know a thing or two about winning All-Irelands and winning titles anyway are John Kennedy and Denny Long, and I'm delighted to have both in this evening as we left Liam Brosnan on the bench. John, it was a bit cruel, was it?
It was a bit cruel.
It was a bit cruel, yeah. I hope he's listening to us. We were going to say, Liam, that you were being set out like Gary Lineker, but that would scandalise everything about it. But Liam's at home this evening in Curragh having limsip and a hot water bottle there curled up on the couch. Good evening, Liam. But don't worry, Liam, we won't forget about you. John Kennedy, I suppose we'll get into it. There was nearly more talk about Ireland winning the Grand Slam coming out of Ossensteck Park last night than there was about Kerry winning and playing football. The game was vital to win the 2 points. That's about it, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of the it's taking a pattern now, I suppose, Donald, you know, over the last number of weeks.
The excitement of going to a football match and supporting the team and getting a good result and jumping out of the field home, it seems to be draining out of football.
It is, and like the first quarter of an hour last night, we played some great football. I think we took on the game, we played direct. You know, there was some, you know, to highlight the goal, what a ball in from Tony Brosnan, David Clifford, clinical finish. And then it was just as if we just stopped doing it. We were 1-4 to point up, and you know, Roscommon came back in, we were playing lateral, we were holding possession, not going forward. Not sure, is it a tactic, is it on the field that the players make those decisions or what, but it's certainly not good to look at. And as you rightly said, the people are, Kerry people, they want to see, most GFLers, they want to see a good game. And you know, a lot of the Kerry supporters are disappointed. The win was great, of course. We said about 2 weeks ago, we could have been in relegation trouble. No, we could. We have an outside chance of getting to the final. But it's more than that. I think it's the way we're playing. You know, we're not free-flowing. Is there hard training? These are all the questions. But those questions will be answered very soon, because it's coming to a time where we'll have to kick on when championship comes into play. And but look, valuable 2 points as a game, as a spectacle. I suppose you could say that for most of the games around the country, watching on television, Denny, over the weekend, I think, you know, some of those games, they're not exciting for the spectators. People want to go to see exciting, high fielding, long kicking, good scores, hard hitting. It's going out of the game, and you know, even the last night, the referee, some of the cards given out, the consistency isn't there. I think it's becoming very stop start the game, and you know, it's not Kerry's fault. We're safe in Division 1, but a lot of work to be done.
Mm-hmm. Now, Dini, you're very welcome back.
Thank you.
You served your suspension, did you? 48 weeks, was it? You're back with us again. Keep the elbows down this time, will you? I suppose, Dini, just to extend before we go into the match and talk about the game itself, it seems to be a hard sell to supporters these days compared to what it was 5 years ago and even 10 years ago. Maybe the characters seem to be gone out of the game. The action seems to be gone out of the game. And as John said, didn't matter what team you were supporting at the weekend, all those games were hard to watch.
Yeah, I think Donald, you know, John put his finger on it there. We have reached a crossroads as far as Gaelic football goes, in my opinion. And even from last year, if you take last year's championship and league, this year's league so far has been terrible, terrible altogether, in the sense that all the teams are playing the same way. It's very difficult for supporters like myself and that generation to build up enthusiasm to go to the games. I've gone to a good few of the Cork games now, and it, to be honest about it, it's becoming very boring. But then when you turn on television and you see Kerry playing in Dublin, playing in Armagh and Galway, you know, just change the jerseys and it is totally the same, repeating the same thing. And I think the GAA, you know, the people running the GAA at club level, county board level, and obviously in Croke Park, if we don't do something about it now, I think the game will become a game that nobody will want to see. And like you said, people were talking, of course the Triple Crown was the big thing at the weekend, but it's the same thing. Old GAA games always were great games to go to. You had great battles between the centre back and the centre forward, full back, full forward, in or around the middle of the field, all positions. But now we have nothing. Mm-hmm. The game is unrecognisable, and I think that unless there's something done with it, it's even going down to the juveniles. I went to a minor game back in Kiel 2 weeks ago, and I would safely say it was one of the worst matches I've seen. Kiel Listray scored 1 point in the whole game. Now, it wasn't that the opposition were streets ahead, it just was terrible football. We have to, you know, the powers that be have to do something about it, because maybe the young people enjoy it. I can't speak for them, but as a spectacle, in my opinion, it is in a very, very bad place.
Mm-hmm. John, picking up on Denny's point, the marking, I mean, that was something that we always kind of associated with Gaelic football. Marquee players picked each other up and there was a good battle and the whole lot. Now with the way, I suppose, zonal defence and the whole lot, that's gone from the game.
Oh, it's totally gone. And like, you know, it has been emerging over the last number of years. Before, you'd bring a corner forward back as an extra defender or maybe a wing forward, but now it's total defence. It's about having the physicality and the stamina and having the athleticism then to break it. But like, you know, it's not being negative, Donald, but We go out to see good scores, whatever sport it would be, you know, whether it's soccer, rugby, hurling, football, whatever it is. But look, when you see a guy 21 yards out from the opposition goals, a shot is on, and he turns and he kicks it back beyond his halfway line. I mean, to me, that's not Gaelic football. Like, you know, this is not a criticism of Kerry or anybody. Mm-hmm. It's a system.
Yeah. And see, I suppose to be fair enough, people are joining in late. We're not discussing the Kerry team. We're discussing the game of Gaelic football as we know it. And other people talk about hurling. That's their game. They love it. But for this particular segment, it's about the sport that we all grew up with, our heroes and the whole lot, and the game that was played. I suppose the way that we liked it played, but it has totally changed. I mean, the modern game is not the game that was played in the 80s, like.
No, it is not, no. And look, everything evolves, we know that, and we have to be practical about it. But you look at the first 15 minutes the last night, the way Kerry played, you know, some great football, won the kick-outs, good diagonal kicks, good kicking, which we are able to do. Kerry players have that. They have the ability to give a 30 or 40 yard kick. We got some great scores, and then it stopped. And Ross Common funneled back. They swarmed it. You know, David Clifford doubled or triple marked again. Paddy Clifford taken out it by being marked. I'm not saying physically, mm-hmm. but our team's copying on to the way we played and to our main men last year. Shawnee Shea, Paddy Clifford, David Clifford. Tadhg Marley's effectiveness is not there. Is it just the time of the year we're in? Or if it's not, and if it's going to be featured going forward, we're going to be in trouble.
Mm-hmm. I met a couple of people, of course, at the game, and they had alternative thoughts about the whole thing. Dinny, one of the thoughts they had was, because it's now such a compact season of 6 months, players aren't going to give their all or play their all in the first couple of weeks of a league when you know you might get injured. If you pick up a 6 week injury, you're not going to be in the championship. And a lot of teams are kind of priming themselves in maybe second gear, and they're not really going for it. I mean, if they get a result, they're safe, they're not relegated. Has the competitive edge gone from the league? I mean, apart from Mayo, who I think have really embraced the league and want to win the league and are putting up good scores, and maybe Max Day is doing that for them, but all the rest of the teams are similar.
Yeah,
enough.
Well, you know, before the league was the kick-off at all, you know, managers were coming out in the press and speaking to yourselves on radio and saying, you know, the league is a kind of a secondary, very secondary competition. Now, that's a terrible thing, you know, to treat the second competition. But go back to this this season that we have now, where you have the inter-county season for the first 5 or 6 months and then you have the club season. I don't think the Gaelic Athletic Association was ever meant to be run that way. And I think, you know, I've heard different views on it, but I think we'll have to go back to extend out the way it was, in the sense that, you know, you play league games and you play club games. I know managers will come along and say, and I heard one manager saying a couple of years ago, that if you take an inter-county player out of their system and send him back to the club, when he comes back to the county, he's 6 or 7 weeks gone back to being a club player, and he's not at the speed, and he's not at the psyche and the bubble and all the other big fancy words that they use. But I think, you know, we're playing nearly a professional game at inter-county level. I think players, in fairness, it's huge demands on them, and I think that, you know, the 5 or 6 counties at the top in the senior football, they're looking at the league now and saying, well, the championship is around the corner, and like you said, they don't want to pick up injuries and they don't want to put too much stress on players. So we've again lost a great competition in the league. If you go back not that long ago, you had the Railway Cup, which was a fantastic competition. You had the Grounds Tournament. Are we now saying that we're now more or less going to say we'll write off the league, so we're going to wind up with the championship? You know, that's not the way the GAA, that's not the way the GAA was supposed to be run. And I think the game has gone too professional by the top 5 or 6 teams, and the rest of the teams are left behind. If we look at Munster now, you have Clare, Waterford, Tipperary, and you can throw in Cork as well. Cork are somewhere above that level. But, you know, there's going to be no competition in Munster. The competition in Leinster, from what we're seeing now, is totally gone. Kildare, Meath, Laois, great counties that, you know, were great football counties. The Dublin, where Dublin have gone back, obviously, they haven't the players that they had, but they'll still come out of Leinster, it looks like, very easy.
At their ease, yeah. Yeah, look, absolutely. Well, certainly it is opening a debate anyway. A lot of comments in. We'll discuss the ones on Gavin White's return there in a second, and some guy wants to talk about foot passing as well. But this one strikes forward, and I have to read it following the conversation that we had. Donal, I have to say the state of football in the country at the moment is at an all-time low. I felt the standard of football on offer in Hassenstack Park was average at best, and if you took the first 15 minutes out of the game, then it was very poor. I went to watch my local county league team on Friday. Oh God, we better read the rest of it before we get to it. And the entertainment value was nil. One side decided all through the game they'd sit back with 12 and 13 players behind the ball. I tell you, our game is destroyed by coaches and stats. What I would give just to watch a free flowing high scoring game of football. I suppose that's the entertainment value gone. Everybody's watching now to see what games were played on Friday in the county. John, were you playing on Friday?
Oh, but Donald, you could say that for most of the games, to be fair. And you know, I'm involved at club level myself, and you know, the first thing by management now is how you're going to stop the opposition. How are you going to keep them from scoring? Before it was how can you score more? But it's the philosophy, and it comes from the top. Look, it's going back the years, if you heard that a team were doing some type of training, whether it was hill running or whatever it was, club team started to do it, another team started to do it, they copied it, and they try to get to that level, get that edge. But I think that it's the, you know, the coaching. We never had more coaches, we never had more coaching, and great work going in. But somebody said to me the other day, like, a lot of the basic skills, the catching and the kicking, the long kicking, are we doing enough of it? Is most of the training being done inside in within Sony Cones and in a small, you know, small area? And is that why when we go into the big field and expand, we're well able to do the swarming?
Yeah.
But you need that bit of quality. Now, it's still winter football, we'll say. It's still National League. Will it improve in the championship? It will from the bigger teams, like Dinny said. The top 4 or 5 teams will go out and express themselves. But the rest are going to be struggling, because I think some of them are at their peak at the moment in the National League, because that's their level.
Well, listen, one man who does know about winning All-Irelands as well is Jack O'Connor, and he spoke to the media after the game, and these are his post-match thoughts.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, we were determined to hit the ground running early on, yeah, and we looked sharp early on. We kicked away a few foolish balls, I suppose, about after about 1/4 hour. And you know, Roscommon are a decent team. I mean, they're a very physical, fit team, and they were never going to die. So, look, might have been a bit hairy there in the last 5 minutes, I suppose, but overall, I think we deserve to win the game.
Clare showed good composure there, and they went down to 14 and Gray and got the black card. Could have been a big momentum swinger.
Yeah, but the way football is played nowadays, surely you wouldn't know is there 14 or 15 in the field, because there's no 16th position. So we just backed off a little bit, and I think we actually won that period by a couple of points. So
3-1.
Was it? Yeah. I thought that. And it was a bit hairy in the end, because we had another black card with Tighe, and then Jason Foley seemed to pick up an injury. So I said we were playing with 13 there in the last 5 minutes probably. So look, tonight was about just getting the result. The performance was decent in patches, but patchy, I would say.
Three players as well got game time between Gavin White, Dermot O'Connor, and Paul Gainey. Was better.
Yeah. Someone said there, Gavin White got man of the match. That's great on his. You know, he's just played one bit of a game with Crokes there a couple of weeks ago and played a bit of internal football. So that's credit to him and to the physios to get him into the shape that he was in there tonight.
And the two best balls were won from him was for Donal O'Sullivan's point, but Tony Broston put in a super ball for David Clifford's goal. I was just wondering, what did you think of Tony Broston?
I thought he was very exciting. Yeah. Tony has a pile of talent, like just needs to keep working on belief and confidence, and he's a great talent. And you know, that will have done him, that display tonight will have done a lot of good.
Is it a confidence thing, Jack, do you think? He just needs that little bit of confidence, maybe?
Yeah. And because I've been watching Tony since he was underage, and sure, he's been a real talent going back to his minor days, and we're delighted with the way he played tonight.
And he likes doing that bit of playmaking as well, Jack.
Sure, look, we've heard plenty of noise about him playing out, but you can't play with a flat three inside anymore. There's no one playing with three inside, so
yeah.
We're not going to put David Clifford out, so somebody has to come out of the corner, so Tony can play both ways.
Jack, I suppose, obviously we've got the 6 points you wanted. I suppose, would going up to Galway be about maybe just getting in a way of their performance before the championship?
I don't know, looking at the table. There's actually a chance you could reach a league final if you beat Galway. I think there's a realistic chance, looking at the table now. But look, Galway are going to be a tough nut above in Salt Hill, obviously, after a great result above in Armagh this evening. So that'll be a tough one. But look, tonight was just about getting a result and getting another step on the way to safety.
Jack, I suppose, just my mind, sad week obviously with Liam Curran's passing away. I suppose your early days as a manager in the noughties, your paths crossed.
Yeah, we had a fierce battle with Limerick in 04. You know, they could easily have beaten us above the Gaelic grounds. I think Dalashea did a bit of climbing over the crossbar to save us that day, and we had a great battle with them in Killarney as well. I think there was only 3 or 4 points in the game, so Liam obviously got the best out of every team he was ever involved in. Sure, what more can you say about a man only that? You know, if that's the best, biggest wish we all have, is to get the best out of our team. So, great footballing man, and just very sad for his family.
There you go, Jack O'Connor, remembering the great Liam Kearns, of course, and a minute's silence for Liam Kearns ahead of that game as well. Speaking to the media afterwards, of course, you heard the voice of Jason O'Connor, Kerry's eye, John O'Dowd, the Kerry man, and sports editor Tony Lean of Ballymac as well, and a man who actually went to a county league game and watched his own Ballymac play as well at the weekend. Dinny, very... I suppose when games are over and mics are put in front of you, you don't get much time to kind of calculate how the game went and the whole lot, and you're thinking about 101 things. But just a couple of things that Jack did touch on. The return of Gavin White, that has to be a bonus for Kerry.
Oh yeah, we all know Gavin White is, you know, a very good footballer, a fantastic footballer. And you know, it's pace, and pace is what the game is all about. And you know, when he gets it, he throws it on the toe, and he's covered ground pretty quickly, and that makes a bit of opening for other fellas. He's an exciting guy to watch, and no doubt about it, Kerry are delighted to have him back, because, you know, they don't have that many real top class players. Mm-hmm. They have, you know, they're all pretty good players, but he's an exceptional talent in the sense that his pace is phenomenal, and you know, with that type of pace in the modern game, he's an ideal candidate for the modern game. The one thing I'd like to say there, Donal, is that, you know, we were talking there about all the coaches and all that. I'm just wondering, is the game better since we got all the coaches, if you go back? And I know I hate going back, but like when was lifted clubs to bring in young fellas and take them down the field at under 8 and under 10 and maybe even older. They're coming in even at under 5s and under 6s now. Is the game better? Is that the way the coaching theory is going at the top level? Because I really see the game in dire trouble as a result of all these coaches. Are they being taught this is the way to coach, or is everyone coaching their own way? I have no idea, but all I can say is that the game has deteriorated and it won't make any difference if Kerry wins this year's Ireland or Mayo or whoever wins it. They don't mind, you know, value for money. Like, I remember Kerry saying long ago, a lot of people remember the great games Kerry played in when they lost. So it's all about winning now. Mm-hmm. You know, the sport, I think, is not a sport anymore. It's, I suppose there's a lot of money involved, you know, in the game. So maybe the game is being ruined by becoming too professional.
There you go. That's some thoughts just before we go to an ad break. And if you want to join the conversation, it's 0667123666 and text us on 083-300-3300 or WhatsApp as well. We'll take a break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home. From the sidelines to the stand, Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Hey, Kerry.
Now you're back to Terrace Talk here on Radio Kerry. The comments are flying in, actually. It's amazing how a show goes, John. We didn't plan to have this show. We were going to talk about the game, but it's taken a life of its own, so we're going to ride this horse out anyway. First of all, the Gavin White ones. Without a doubt, he played outstanding. Great to see him back playing again. Gavin was fantastic. Great to see him back. We needed him back for that extra pace and drive. He's such a talent. Delighted to see him back. Donald, if Gavin White could sit out since last July and play one bit of a game with Dr. Crokes, as Jack O'Connor says, and settle back into the Kerry team, what does that say about the Kerry team? Well, we won't answer that one. That's a rhetorical question there, Dinny. We'll ask you another question in a second. But there's a lot of comments coming in. I want to get them. Hello, lovely to see Kerry win on Saturday. David Clifford and Shawnee Shea are picking up yellow cards at every match they played, and they're getting them very early in the games too for silly fouling, giving away a soft freeze. Should Jack have a word with these? Galway are a better team this year, and I don't think Kerry will beat them. They don't have to depend on Shane Walsh, as they have three very good men that can kick the ball from out the field and over the bar. The Kerry boys are not able to do that at the moment. Maybe it is their heavy training. Donal, the one team we can blame for all this is Mickey Hart and Tyrone, and that's Francis from Palace, and that course goes back to the, I suppose, the initial days of bringing in, I suppose, the swarm defence and the whole, that's where he's going. I don't agree. The game of Gaelic football is hard to watch. All this lateral and back passing, you could make a cup of tea and come back and you'd miss nothing. That's Charles out there. Yeah, Charles, fair play. You could make a couple of cup of teas maybe, the way some games are being played at the moment. Hi, Donal. Would a simple rule improve as the spectacle of football? Six backs and forwards confined, can't pass the halfway line, maybe a 60-second attempt to score on a shot clock dinners. Yeah, you see it in basketball, you get so much to score and then you hand over the ball. I suppose teams are holding the ball for nearly 2 and 3 minutes now and running down the clock, and I suppose that's hurting the game as well. Agree with the panel that Gaelic football is now at a crossroads. At times it's terrible to watch, over and back the field, hand passing now dominant, very little skill brought up. Brought this up at a county board meeting and was told by Central Council delegate that it's up to the Rules Committee in Croke Park to implement rule changes, and we could be waiting a while for that. And Dan, funny comment on that, Dan. On the way out the last night, I was talking to kind of a well-known man who knew his football well, and he thought on the game was that rather than 15 aside, it should be 13 aside. Take four players off the field, it's going to be harder to mark the space, and you will get back to a bit more football. Maybe something that as well. Players can go through a game now without kicking a ball. That's Paul, yeah, absolutely. A lot of players heading away through the game now without kicking, a couple of hand passes, possessions, and the whole lot. It's more exciting to listen to Tim and Ambrose on Radio Kerry than watch Kerry football at the minute. Go to the hurling matches, they're way more exciting and easier to watch. Hi, Donald, John, and Dinny, you're spot on. Games are now boring. Kerry played beautiful football for about 10 or 15 minutes, and then they went back to lateral passing, going backwards. Kerry are kickers and hand passing game doesn't suit us. I hope this changes. Yeah, absolutely. There's an awful lot of talk on that. I think rather than kind of just going on for the next hour about it, because I mean this is a conversation that's held in every club, and everybody wants to talk about our game, the way it's changed. But I want to kind of bring Dinny back to kind of reality a small bit. And we'll talk about Cork for a small bit, Dinny, because we said we'd store it up. But I watched a great documentary that last evening, Lake Regale. And of course, every now and again, there's one fantastic one. And Noel O'Leary's one was up. Before we play Noel O'Leary's one, we have a lovely little segment here of the intro into it. And of course, it's Noel talking about his late father. And I think this really sums up the O'Leary's and certainly was great to listen to.
It surprises the people that used to call Tim, but one stood out. Dolores O'Riordan. Jeez, he said, this hippie called today, he said, and she hopped out of a Mercedes car. I said, and what does she do? And he said, there was a man in the yard at the time, and the saw was going, and he was telling me about her, and I couldn't hear him, but he said, I think she's well known for growing cranberries. So that was my father for you.
There we go, Noel O'Leary. Of course, Dolores O'Riordan, maybe she was good for selling cranberries as well, but she certainly was great for singing as well. Dinny, that goes back to 2010, and of course we were watching in all the great, I suppose, games that Kerry played, Cork and semi-finals and All-Ireland finals and the whole lot. And there, at that time, there was a great momentum being built up between the counties, and do you know, Cork were there and they won, of course, in 2010. Kerry fell to Down and he beat Down. Noel O'Leary was a very important part of that, wasn't he?
He was. Noel O'Leary was a very good player, Donald, a good character. You know, he the crowd were mad for him because he was capable of doing anything apart from, you know, he was a footballer first and foremost, but he liked to get involved in the argy bargy, and himself and Paul Galvin, you know, I suppose had a lot of history between them. But you know, his commitment to Cork was incredible. He was a fellow who loved to play, loved the jersey, loved everything about Gaelic football, and you know, they're the fellas you want to see, and we want to see more of them, and that they're allowed to play football, and that we can come back when the game is over and say, you know, Paul Galvin got the better of Noel O'Leary today, and vice versa. And that's what you want to know. And of course, they went through a lot of grief, and you know,
sad times.
There's a lot of things people don't know when a player goes on the field, and you know, people say this fella played bad or this fella did something, but nobody knows what goes on in the background. And he had his own share of grief, but he came through it. And you know, looking at the programme, and I read an article in the paper about it as well, he, you know, everything he said I'd agree with it, but the main thing to him was the honour to play for Cork, to represent Cork and be lucky enough to win in All-Ireland. You know, that was his goal. He achieved all them with the hardships in life that he had. So I'm delighted for him. And he was excellent, a great ambassador the last night on the television, and fair play to him. He spoke his mind, which is what you want to hear.
John, two follow-up points to that. And I suppose the reason that we played Noel O'Leary, I wanted to kind of put out there how human, in a sense, GAA footballers are, because we go to the match and you're, before you know it, you're roaring abuse down at the corner back or the midfielder or the whole lot. And we get a lot of texts in here, you know, very supportive, and some not supportive, and I suppose some downright really bad ones as well on players, and we don't read them out because for obvious reason, you know, I mean, they're not fair, and you don't do it. Every fella that goes out, puts on a jersey, goes out with the best will and intention of doing the very best that they can. But are we coming to a stage now where we're losing the Noel O'Leary type characters and the Paul Galvin type characters to kind of system players?
I think so. You know, like it highlighted all the good in the GAA. You know, it highlighted the human side of it, like Denise said. You know, every player, there's something going on at home, you know, whether it's family members sick or whatever it is, you know, and we have to realise that. And I thought it was a super presentation because it was so honest. First of all, everybody that spoke, Noel and his mother and everybody else, you know, it was real down to earth stuff. The honour of wearing the jersey and playing on the edge, bought himself from Paul Galvin. Isn't that what the game is about? You know,
you'd nearly go to the game to,
you would,
hope for
you
something
would,
like
and,
it. So.
And like, it's, you know, can you imagine if it was played now? They wouldn't have been on the field for too long anyway with the card system. I think it added to everything. I'm not condoning dirty play.
No.
But this was, you know, the Dubs had it, all the good teams. Kerry had it, we had it with the O'Shea's and Aidan Mahoney and all those fellas. play on the edge, play to your strengths. You shake hands when the game is over, and that's what it's about. And like Dini said, there's lads talking hostilities around the country about that tussle and about that battle. And what a battle it was. And Noel O'Leary typified all that is good in the GAA and in sport.
Mm-hmm.
You play it, you play on the edge. If you win, you take it in your stride, and if you lose, it's not the end of the world, because there's bigger things in life. Sport, it's Gaelic football is a sport. And that's the way it should be looked. It's very, very serious. But I think that you're curbing natural talents. You know, we spoke about the Gooch there today with a few fellas, you know, Mikey Sheehy, we go back, like, you know, all the class forwards, they had that extra, they had that you just can't, you couldn't say what they were going to do next.
Mm-hmm.
But would they be stifled in the game now if they were in it? David Clifford is another one, like. Clifford is a natural. He'll do the extraordinary things very, very well. And if we have a system that's going to curb those guys, the Shane Welches, you know, the Canavans in Tyrone, these are the exciting players. Look at the Mayo lads, you know. If you curb that natural ability, you're taking something out of the game, and you're taking that flair, and you're taking that excitement to get the crowd going.
Mm-hmm. Dini, are we taking these players out of games? I mean, like you said, you've watched a couple of underage games and all that, and you don't see, I suppose, the natural flair as much, because obviously, I suppose, winning now at all costs, no matter what level it is. Last night I watched our own Kilcullen versus Dr. Crokes, and even though it was a challenge match, you still wanted to win, and you know, there was all that buzz about, and the kids went out and they played fantastically well, and they were up and down the field, and they had all the skills, and you were still scratching your head that so-and-so couldn't pick it off the ground at 13 and the whole lot. Are we over-coaching kids?
Yeah, well, I think John, you know, the point John made there about if you take a player, he starts off with his club, right? That's where he gets coached. That's where he usually gets coached. And he had skills, and you know, the coach taught him, you have to maybe do this or do that or whatever. And he did all them things. And the reason he was picked for his county, that he was good at all them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, when you have the development squads, right? Not so sure about them. Are they serving the purpose that they were meant to serve? We now have a situation when a very good footballer comes from wherever he comes from, right? And there are plenty of them out there. And when he comes into the system, or into the bubble, as they call it, he now has to play to the way he's coached to play with them. And that's taking all his natural skills. And what we love to see Longo was the good catcher, the good kicker, out of the sideline, whatever. And they were the things we were talking about. We now go to the match. When the match is over, we're saying, geez, the drive home is a long way if we go to Cork or go to Dublin. And really, the game, you'd hardly talk about it. That was, you know, and that's a bad sign of the way the game is played now. There's no more contest. I watched a game today for an hour and 10 minutes, and holy mother of God, the hand passing, it was absolutely frightening. They'd be as well off to set them, throw off your boots, play barefoot, because you won't kick it anyways, and the boots are no good. It was absolutely appalling, and that's the way it is going. And if it keeps going the way it is going, my God, it will be absolutely a total disgrace altogether, because you just wouldn't want to see it. And the people that are paying going in to see it, it's dreadful for them to come away from a game and can't say this fella or that fella. And go back to David Clifford. David Clifford, a marvellous footballer, they're now able to stifle him. And the top four or five teams that Kerry will meet in the All-Ireland Series, if they stifle him, then the value going in to see him playing and kicking is taken away from him as well. So I don't think that should be allowed to happen.
Mm-hmm. Tony Davis, of course, another Cork man, of course, good footballer in the day as well, a tweet there, I suppose, a couple of days ago. The key to producing top players in all sports is a strong school system. Brilliant victory for the Irish under-20s, another example. Maybe Jake should invest more in school system to maintain top quality competition. I believe it beats development squads to a certain age. Do we get to a stage, John, where I suppose every model changes, and I suppose everybody was rushing into the development squad model, and you know, as Dini said, a player got to a certain level on their own, back in their own club, and they were good at fielding, they could score, and maybe they were left or right and all that. But now you go into a development squad, and there's almost kind of a preordained that the guys that are good at 14 are going to be our seniors in 10 years' time. Is that model breaking, or has it broke, or is it the one that people are going to stick with anyway?
I think you hit the nail on the head. You know, I've heard it said in the last number of years, your man hasn't gone into the under-14s now, he's going to be there, he's going to be a Kerry minor. You couldn't say that 15 or 20 years ago. Lads went into trial games. Was it right or wrong? We're just giving both sides.
Mm-hmm,
they went into
yeah.
trials, probably 200 players trialled, giving your all. A huge honour for the club to have a lad going in for a trial, first of all, and then having a cut and trying to make that panel. But I think now, you know, it's, you're looking, talking about the rugby situation there. You know, when you get to the final stages of any competition, you're getting the best. When we get to the semi-finals in Croke Park of the All-Ireland, you're going to get you should be getting two good games and a good final. And I think that is covering over a lot of the cracks that we have, because some of the games, like Dinny said earlier on, Munster and Leinster is foregone before we kick any ball. Yesterday you had Limerick and Clare relegated, Waterford and Tipperary, you know, Tipperary down Division 4 again. It's not good for Munster football. Is the system the cause of it? Is, you know, I was listening there during the week on Radio Kerry about the number of club players that have travelled away.
Mm.
This didn't happen before. It happened to an extent. But players, that same commitment doesn't seem to be there. County players are going now. It was unheard of years ago. If you were in with a chance of getting on the Kerry panel, it would be the last thing in your mind to go away. But now players do go. So things have evolved. Is it as important as it was? And is that part of the reason? Is the season, the concise season, has that changed it? 'Tis a professional game and all, but getting paid. And, you know, the time and effort that goes in, and I would never criticise a player at any level, because the time they're putting in, the travel and the work and the commitment to get to the level is unbelievable. But the football that's being played is not actually reflecting the work that has gone in that we're not getting these quality games. You're getting stifled defences, you're stopping the good players playing, and, you know, going back again to the example of Saturday night, first 15 minutes, it was quality stuff. Roscommon hanging on, and all of a sudden, what did they do? They stifled it out, they didn't allow us to get the ball in. We did try to kick a few long ones. There was 3 and 4 players inside on one, mop it up, and you hold possession again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so boring to watch. There wasn't a kick in the crowd, really. What the crowd want is exciting stuff. Not all about winning, but
just to turn down
game.
The table there, John, that's not Roscommon's fault. I mean, if I was 1-4 to a point down, I certainly wouldn't leave a lot of space hidden behind. I'm not the Christian. I'm not meant to be eaten by the lion either. I mean, for the sake of entertainment. Is it the way the rules set up the game that makes nothing wrong with the people changing the game? I mean, there's nothing wrong with 14 fellas marking David Clifford, you know, unless they're not pulling and dragging him like maybe some other teams that we saw. But the reality is, like, Roscommon came out, they probably set their stall up to be offensive, have a go at Kerry. They got caught in the back, they left in a great goal, a couple of points, they went down. But it was only when they kind of closed the gap, they got the next 3 points just before half time. They closed it down. They opened up the second half, they got the first 3 points playing to their system. And I suppose, in fairness to Roscommon, I mean, like, you know, I know people said Jesus didn't come down to play. They certainly tried to play a little bit more than Armagh the week before, anyway, the last time that we saw them. Dini, when was the last time you enjoyed a football match?
It's quite a while, don't it? I can't really remember, to be honest about it, and that's the point.
Are you talking 90s, 80s, 70s?
Not so much. Like, I suppose we'd have to say, going back, that the Dublin team that won whatever they won, you know, they were quite exciting to watch. But then again, they had a tremendous team, and they could play it. You know, they were so good, right? Like the Kerry team of the 70s and 80s. Like, when they played, they didn't mind. They could do what they wanted to do. But what seems to have happened now is that because all players are training the same way, they're eating the same grub, it's all this about strength and conditioning and all that. So they're all of the same mix, in the sense, when it comes to playing. And obviously, they're not allowed to express themselves. I don't think a player, and I'm only speaking from the outside, I don't think a good footballer now going in to play with Kerry or Cork or Dublin, whoever it is, if he's a very good footballer, he's a good kicker and all that, he probably won't get on the team, because he won't play to the system that they wanted. The big secret now is mind the ball. Every coach, every sideline that I go to now, all I hear the coach is shouting, mind the ball, mind the ball, mind the ball. You know, there's no such thing as kick it, let's see a bit of excitement. The excitement has gone out of the game. And if we don't have excitement, you don't have a game.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, certainly loads of excitement this evening anyway, Dinny, fair play to you. Liam, if you're listening at home, I'd say take next week off as well. Dinny's playing a blinder. Come here, we'll take a break, and after a break we'll talk to Dan Kearney for a bit.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
We care.
Breaking down the weekend sporting action. This is Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Now you're very welcome back to Terrace Talk here on Monday evening. Donal Barry sitting in here till 8 o'clock this evening. We'll change tack just for a small bit and we'll head over to the world of ladies football. They're certainly playing great football at the moment. Anyway, great exciting teams to watch. Dan Kearney joins us on the line as he usually does after a Kerry game. Dan, I suppose we'll briefly touch the Cork game because I want to talk about Paris and Julie as well. Would Kerry have been disappointed by that loss, or did they kind of set up kind of just find a little bit more about themselves?
Be disappointed after any loss, like, but at the same time, I'd say the management weren't terribly upset by it, like, in a sense that, you know, it was obvious that, that Kerry were a bit leggy. The lads have gone into a kind of a different series of training now, a different block of training with a view to the actual National League final, like, you know, so they had nothing to lose the last day, really, bar their unbeaten record. In this year's league, and I don't think they'll be terribly disappointed. And I suppose they, you know, particularly you started the game without Chiefer O'Shea, and Varian Scanlon and Louise Namur Hurtig didn't play at all, you know. And you know, I mean, they're three very big players for that team. Like, so from a point of view of, you know, giving girls a run, which they did and stuff like that, I think it was very, very well worthwhile. But no, they will be disappointed with the loss, but on the overall picture, I don't think they will be terribly so.
Mm-hmm. I suppose when you bring Shefa O'Shea on, she scores 2 second-half goals, and you close the gap a bit. And like you said, you didn't have your free scoring forward. I presume though, a lot of players who would like to get themselves kind of into the championship side, or maybe even into the league final team, they would have had to have put up big games the last day. Would some of them have been disappointed with their games, or again, I suppose it was just a game that played itself out?
Yeah, I would think so. I would think there's a few that would have come in there, like, you know, with aspirations of possibly breaking through when the bigger games are on, shall we say, like, you know. But you know, there will be a few of them that maybe were replaced and that won't be terribly happy with how they played. But I suppose on the plus side, you had the likes of Aoife Delan there, who wouldn't be a regular starter. And Aoife came in cornerback. I thought she had a very, very good game the last day. Young Amy Harrington there, down from ISG. She started. She's only an 18-year-old girl, just out of minor. I thought she acquitted herself very well, like, you know. But like you said, there'll be a few, like, you know, that will be disappointed with how they played. But again, look, it is very hard to go out there when you're a bit leggy, and you know, Cork were obviously that much sharper. Like, I mean, even some of Kerry's more established players were kind of struggling a small bit the last day, like, you know. I mean, like, you look at Liam Cavalier, she's an all-star, she's arguably been Kerry's best player all year, like, and she really struggled, like, you know, and was taken off, like, you know. So that's very unusual to see that, like. But definitely when you saw the likes of Niamh Conacour coming on there, and Shearer and Lauren Scanlon, like, they made a huge difference when they came on the field, like, you know, there's no doubt about it. And you also had the likes of Aisling O'Connell coming on, who's an all-star as well, like. And like I said earlier, Louise de Merhurtig was rested. So, like, while not many stood up, I suppose, really, to say, look, I want my place. But, like, to be fair, there was positives. Like, definitely, Aoife Delan was a huge positive for me.
Absolutely. The stacks man here would be delighted with that. Come here. Two very positive stories, or one very positive story with two people in it, maybe Paris McCarthy and Julie Sullivan, creating their own little bit of history, the first two Kerry women to head off to Australia to play the WAFL.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's a huge opportunity for them, and I'm delighted for the two of them. I was talking to them there on Saturday over the phone, and it's a great opportunity. They're going down to Sydney there, and of course we all know the rich heritage that we have in terms of Kerry. People have been down from there from Ty Kennelly back in the day, like, you know, and there is that love since Tighe. Like, he's a legend down there, and I think the girls will be very well treated down there. I think Paris is going in there on a 3-year contract, and Julie is going on a 1-year, you know, and she's going to see how it pans out. But like, they're, it's a brilliant opportunity to play professional sport for the two of them, and I think they'll thrive in it. And you know, it's great that the two of them are going together as well, like, because like it will be a bit of company, like, you know, there'll be no homesickness or all that, any of that kind of crack. Of course, Paris has already spent the last 8 months over in America, so she's well over that stage of homesickness. Mm-hmm. All that kind of stuff, like, but no, I think it's a brilliant opportunity for them. I think they should grasp it with both hands, which I think they will, and hopefully it'll work out.
Mm-hmm. Then finally, we're playing Galway in the last round of the league. Are we likely to meet them as well in the final?
Yeah, they beat Mayo yesterday, so they're through. So it's going to be a Kerry Galway final. So. Look, the game next Sunday, it's going to be like, as the men says, two bald men fighting over a comb, you know, really, there's no...
Like the last round of the County League, is it? Nobody will want to win it.
it kind of is, you know, and it really, like, it's like, you know, you're going into a boxing match and you don't really want to punch the opponent and you don't want to show him your moves, you know, and it's going to be the same the next day. Like, I don't know how they're going to manage it, like, as such, but again, it might be an opportunity there for... you know, girls to come in and stake their claim again, like, you know, sure, there is that, like, but there's another side of it as well. I was just looking at on the ladies' Facebook page last night, the Ladies Football Association, and Louise McHurtig is the top scorer in the league at the moment on 226, which is 32 points, and Chief Roche is next on 6-11, 29 points. So, you know, maybe they want to finish as top scorer at the end of the normal round of the league too. So there could be that as well, possibly.
Fair play to you, then. You put a Kerry headline on it anyway. Louise wants to start scoring goals. Is that the understatement from that? If Schieffer has 6-11 scored and she has 226, I don't know. So Kerry Crowe were always able to get goals. Listen, Dan, thanks very much.
Louise, fair to her. I'd say she's only out of 6 points. I'd say she's only played 4 games. So fair to her for being there anyway.
Right.
Sure.
No pressure neither of anyway, Dan Carney. Listen, Dan, thanks for joining us this evening. We really appreciate it, and we wish Paris and Julie the very best luck there in Australia as well. It's a fantastic story, and of course the legacy that we have here in Kerry Tighe, of course, and of course before Tighe we had a connection back to the Kerry Miners into it.
Sean White
all the way out as well. Yeah. He went on under the headlines, a great I suppose Listowel man.
Yeah,
Listowel man. Final one to you. Let's talk about a Listowel man who played very well for Roscommon. Yeah, something positive had to be discussed about the game.
Conor Cox, well, we all know his ability, in fairness. You know, he was found it difficult to break into the Kerry squad. Went to Roscommon, and he's a superb kicker. And some of the scores he kicked on Saturday night were top drawer. You know, they were at the level of David Clifford and all the great forwards. And, you know, he certainly is doing well up there, and fair play to him.
The burning question, Dinny. Are you going to Galway the next day?
Yeah, like Jack said there earlier on, there's a 6-point differential.
Yeah.
It's not a mountain.
But you'll have to go to win it and go out
course,
to win it.
I think it could be
a shootout.
And I think Kerry will, because, you know, if you look at all Kerry's games, are, you know, they're up and down a bit iffy for Kerry, if you like. And, you know, I think that Jack and his management and players, they'd like to see themselves well tested. And, you know, Galway, Mayo, semi-final. Galway is a semi-final, if you like, and Mayo are already through to the final. Mayo gave Kerry a bit of a hiding. Maybe, you know, Kerry would be anxious to say, okay, you might be getting above your station a bit, we'll take you on above in Croke Park. I think it's not, if Kerry decide that they want to go to a league final, I could see them bridging 6 points.
Mm-hmm. John, final minute. I mean, surely Kerry want to get into a final. They will do everything they can to win that game. I know people are saying, oh, we don't need to be in it, and, you know, it's just another game and whatever, but I mean, it's a piece of silverware, isn't it?
Oh, there's no doubt. I'd agree with Dinny, and, you know, you could even hear it in Jack's voice. You know, there's a carrot there. He's a competitive man, and you know what looked and you know, an unreal target a few weeks ago is certainly there now. I think we'll go to Galway and I think we'll win and get a league final, and what a huge boost would be. And you know, you've the players coming back as well, already said Dermot O'Connor last night, Paul Ganey, and a fantastic run by Gavin White. We need these guys, and I think they'll kick on, they'll beat Galway and get a league final, and you know, a repeat of last year's final.
Being a repeat of last year's All-Ireland final, does this make it a statement game? I mean, Galway will want to win that at home, obviously. Kerry will need to win it if they want it, and they still will need a series of results to go their way, and they'll need to probably outscore, I don't know, they have to outscore Galway by something big anyway to get over the line. Is it just a victory, or is it kind of going out with a great performance, playing what we would associate with Kerry?
I think a victory is important. If Kerry want to get the league final, I think they'll go to win the game. If they don't, a performance. But Galway have certainly improved as well. They've been down so many of their marquee players. They've found a few players which they wanted. It's an intriguing battle ahead.
An intriguing battle ahead, says John Kennedy. Well, listen, guys, thanks very much for all the time you've done this evening. The show absolutely flew. And we'll have an extra hour just after the news.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home. Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, Mondays from 6 to 8 p.m.
Now, the Kerry senior hurlers, they lifted very late yesterday as well to secure a home win against Down at Austin Stack Park, of course. And of course, they did secure, of course, a semi-final Division 2A of the Allianz National League as well. And of course, they're going to travel to Offaly next weekend, next Saturday actually, 2 p.m. Extra time if necessary. Hopefully not, but that's what's there. And that, of course, because Offaly drew Kildare yesterday, and Kildare are in the final. I didn't think we would be predicting Kildare were in the final, but certainly our next two guests will tell us that, and I'm delighted to be joined by James Positive McCarthy and Richard O'Foran, who hopefully you'll have to play the Dini long row. Absolutely, come here. I heard you were outstanding last week with Ivan, the two of you. I think you nearly went on for an hour, did you?
Ivan kept us talking. We couldn't get him off the phone.
My God, how much? Yeah, yeah. Jesus, yeah. Myself and Gary Lineker were drinking tea together last week, of course. We were nowhere together. Come here, Richard. Stephen Malumpy's men, I suppose, they're getting a tag for being kind of a second half team. It's something that teams want to shake, but they certainly didn't shake it on or yesterday, and they've done very little to shake it really. But a win is a win, and it was important.
Yeah, I think it was another example of we leaving to the second half to really get going, and I suppose a couple of lads really took the game by the scruff of the neck, the likes of Jordan and Shane as well. But I suppose it was good to get a good test yesterday, because Down certainly put it up to now. Obviously, Down wanted to get a result just to make sure of their Division 2A status. So we got enough of it from them, and that was good for us. But I suppose a bit like our footballers, I don't think we've seen Kerry at full tilt yet. There is a lot more in this Kerry team, and certainly going up to Tullamore next Saturday, they will have to up their game. They have it in them, but they'll have to play for the two halves above Tullamore.
James, I suppose at the start of the year, look, we said we need to get to a league final. We're still in the process of getting there. Would you have been happier had we been Kildare and just got there straight, or is a semi-final the best way to get into a final?
It could be a Kildare. Kildare off in Kerry, I'd say, are very even this year. You judge my results and judge my way it panned out. We had them kind of targeted since early in the year. Those three would be in the shake-up. Maybe straight in the front door, as they say. Is that the best way to go? Maybe it probably is. But then again, could you beat a game against Offaly away and get out of that on the right side? That's huge positives in going to a final against Kildare. You'll be in great shape then. But it is a tough ask. It is a tough ask, but it's just Kerry this year. It's up and down with them. It doesn't even go from match to match. It's nearly from 15-minute spells to 20-minute spells. It's like last Sunday again, we seem to hit desperate flat spots. We came down, got 8 points in a row, 8 points to one, I suppose, about 15 minutes of first half there the last Sunday as well. It seems to be that way all season. Brilliant for 15, 20 minutes. Next thing, hit a flat spot, down again. Same with games. We play very good one game, next game we're flat. So hopefully next Saturday that will be all guns blazing, as they say.
Mm-hmm. Rich, Stard, look, I suppose nobody said it was a vintage display against Down. I mean, it was the win. The best bit of it, I suppose, was the fact that we were able to reel Down back in and get ahead and get the win. And I suppose in some of the games, particularly against Offaly, other teams were catching us as well. The manner in the game and the victory, the way it was achieved, do you think that is going to stand to us going in against a very tough Offaly team?
Yes. As I said earlier, it was good to get a good challenge yesterday, and Down came down here all guns blazing. As I said, they needed to get results just to make sure that Division 2A status, and we knew very well that they were going to come down here and give us a very, very good game of it, and they're a fine team. So obviously it was dead rubber for us, and certainly was a very it was good to get that hard game yesterday and to squeeze home by 1 point. It was very, very important to get that hard challenge, that hard game, because it's going to be a tough ask above in Tullamore. But this has prepared us well for it, I think.
Mm-hmm. One of the aspects that was eye-catching for me anyway, James, yesterday was your subs bench scored 1-6. I mean, any day that you put a couple of subs on and they score 1-6 and the vital scores as well. Does that mean that you were bringing players on who should be established within the team, or are they guys that are saying, listen, look at me, give me a chance, I certainly deserve a run in the first 15?
I think that's your bang on there, Donaling. It's filling up their hands. I'd say that's what it is, really. Look, it's the business end of the season. Like, you're in the semi-final, you could have final the final week, and then you're away to Down in the first round of Joe McDonough. So it's 3 weeks that can really tell an off-run Kerry season. So, lads, this is where you want to be involved. Fellas have been doing a lot of training, they've done a lot of work, so you don't want to be sitting on the bench looking at it. And the lads that came in yesterday can make a difference. Maybe, like, even seeing lads back in, lads come back into good, into shape and come back into maybe their best form at the right time. I hope that's the case, but we against Offaly, Offaly's got a whole life of its own. That's going to be physically tough and physically hard. So you will need five subs, because there's definitely those 15 fellas, they're going to take some hits in that match, and that's going to be really intense, that game. And I guarantee you, we'll need that same push off the bench against Donegal next Sunday. If we don't want to take off the bench against Offaly next Sunday, I'd be delighted. Mm-hmm. That'd be huge, and I think that'd take us over the line, I think.
Talk to us about two of the guys that came off the bench, Richard. I mean, I suppose we all know how great Jordan Conway is a hurler, but I mean, to get back in again and play so well, and of course Dan Goggins as well, you know, he had a massive 2 points there nearly back to back at one stage to get us back level again. Speak to us about those two guys.
Two fine hurlers. You know, I mean, we saw what Jordan could do last year in the Joe McDonough final. He's just a fine hurler, a great man to take on the defence. And of course, Dan Goggin as well has been a class hurler. Great man to strike from the sideline as well, to put the ball over from a narrow angle. They're two top quality hurlers.
James, I suppose not to get too bogged down in stats and the whole lot, and I'm sure Stephen Malumpy will have video men watching it, but Kerry created 22 chances yesterday of scoring, they missed 22 chances of scoring, 14 wides among them. I mean, particularly the way these games are ending a point either side, is that fairly inaccurate shooting, do you reckon, or is that just because Down were on top of their game yesterday and fellas weren't getting chances to score? But when you see 14 wides in a hurling match, is that a lot of wides, or the way the game is going, is that just somewhere in the between?
No, don't let that's an awful lot. That's a huge amount. Huge. Like, yeah, that's like, if you get seven, like, we'll just say it's not, it wasn't seven wides each half, but like 2-7 wides by half time this season, oh my god. You could have been really, that's different between comfortable in the game, being able to run your bench, being able to use fellas, being able to sit off fellas, and that's been very tight at the end, having to push it to the last ball to get your win nearly. It's a big difference in matches. We've seen it before, and it's like you said, on the second half team, that's not a great tag to have either. Right? Look, it's a great thing because you can't win a match in the first half, but as the old saying goes, you can certainly lose it. And against better teams, you saw them last year, Joe McDonald fighting against Antrim, you will lose it in the first half. It leaves you a mountain to climb, and like, it's very, very hard. And you put in so much effort to get back to level terms. By the time you're actually levelled in, the other team can actually kick on. They've taken all your hits, and next thing you know, they have a bit of extra energy. So it's maybe a hard way to go. But look, as I said, don't you call me Mr. Positive. I will be positive again. I'll try and be positive again. Like, but this is what I was talking about here. This is exactly where I want to be. And the semi-final in Offaly, I go up in Offaly next Saturday. Brilliant. Brilliant. And even win or lose, look, okay, we really want to win, but it's another big game. You maybe have a weekend off, then you're into Joe McDonough, you're up and down this time, away to Down, in Down, that'll be some testing in. So it's a huge 3 weeks, and I wish them all the best. And it's actually a couple of big weeks for Kerry Hurling coming up, down. You've Kerry 20s and Kerry Minors out as well in the Leinster Championship. So it's a huge week for a couple of weeks for Kerry Hurling as a whole.
Richard, we're going to Offaly. I mean, a number of years ago, going back when Offaly were winning All Ireland, I presume people would have laughed at the thought that Kerry hurlers and Offaly hurlers would be on the same pitch. We were going up the next day as equals for more than a number of years now at this stage. It's a game that we are well capable of winning, but I would presume bookies and everybody from the outside world will look at Offaly at home in a game wanting to get back to Division 1, and very few people will give Kerry a chance outside their own dressing room, maybe.
Yeah, I suppose what was disappointing was our performance against Offaly and Killarney. You know, we drove a lot of wides and a lot of balls short as well that day, and you know, Offaly had a great cushion going in that day, like, you know, and I think a lot of it was of our own making. But the second half performance against Offaly showed what we can do. And as I said earlier, I think we have yet to see Kerry at full tilt this year. We've yet to see Kerry playing with the fluency that they're capable of. But the next day, they cannot give Offaly the head start that they give them in Killarney. There has to be a consistent performance. And I genuinely believe that we can beat Offaly the next day. But we have to play for the two halves, and we have to sharpen up our shooting.
Mm-hmm. James, apart from sharpening up the shooting, what would be the one or two things that you would like Kerry hurlers to do the next evening to give them a chance of beating Offaly? Where do they need to get better in defence? Obviously, their shooting is to be done. Is there a strategy in puck out? Where do you think they could sharpen up?
I think, the way I would approach that game next Saturday, I go hell for leather straight up early on, because Offaly will expect, like what they saw in Clare, and we sat back a little bit maybe, and that's low. You, good teams will find ways to get around that. You see, like I won't say it's not a swarm defence, but it's extra players back and maybe filing players back. You know, you lose out up front, but if we go active hammer and tongs early on, you could say, right, that could be a mad way to go. But I don't know, I think we play our best hurling when we're kind of under the cosh a little bit and going at it like that, and it's maybe hear them, scare them, hurling a little bit. I think we play our best stuff, but like, I go at them and have a go at them, match them physically early on. You really do have to man up early on with the Offaly boys, because they are a big physical team. They're good hurlers, but they're also big and physical, and they're very direct, very, very direct, and they're going to play quick ball in. So I think match them physically and go at them early on and have a go, and just more than size up. There's no size up anymore now. You know exactly what you're facing now. Size up is gone. Size up is done in the league. This chance now, put your stamp down early on and say, come on, right, we'll go ahead 5 or 6 points. Now see what Offaly are made of. Try that system. I don't, just maybe do it's worth a chance here, Don. Worth a go.
Mm-hmm. Richard, Shane Conway hit the headlines again this week. I mean, another fantastic performance. He really kind of is, I suppose he went back into the background for a couple of rounds, and he's kind of moving up again, nominated of course on the best 15 hurlers of the week. Shane is a quality hurler. He will need a big game of course against Offaly.
Yeah, one of the best, and then to go back to what GM said there, I agree with him 100%. We need to go at Offaly. I think that we've been a bit cagey in games against Carlow. I think that we sat back too much. I think we should have courage and go at them, because we have the players to cause damage. So I would agree totally with James there. With regard to Shane, Shane is one of the finest hurlers around. And, you know, he suffered with injury for quite a long time, which is great to see him back again, because he is class. You know, I mean, Shane Conway, you know, on a good day will run rings around defences. You know what I mean? He is a top quality player, and it's great for Kerry to see him back mm-hmm. at his best and playing great hurling best. He's a class act.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, stay with us for 1 minute and 54 seconds, both of you, because that's our ad break coming up. Because I want to discuss the Kerry Minors and the 20s heading to Leinster as well. And I want to touch on that great win for the Kerry Camogie Minor players as well. We'll take a break now, though.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now you're back to Terrace Talk. We are talking hurling, of course, the small ball. James McCarthy, you brought it up. The Kerry Minors under 20s are getting ready for the Leinster Championship. For those people who are already jumping up and down saying, Leinster Championship, why are they going there? You might just explain.
Last year and a couple of years before, they've made an approach to try and play in the Leinster Championship. They feel there's a tiered system in the Leinster Championship, which actually works out well. You have the top, say, tier one teams would be the likes maybe of Dublin, Wexford, Offaly, Kilkenny, of course. they're tier one teams. And then you have tier two teams, which may be the Carlows, Kildares, Westmeath. That's where you'd be with those tier two teams. And in a strange kind of twist of fate, I suppose that the minors are actually in tier one and the other 20s are in tier two. And if they win their games in tier two, they qualify on further in the Leinster. So it's more even playing field. But for the Kerry minors, it's a tough one.
It's been a couple of tough years for the Kerry Miners. I mean, I've watched them a couple of times against Tipperary and the whole lot, and I mean, in fairness, they train fierce hard, they go out, they do their very best, but they're just kind of out of the dip within the Munster strategy. So over here in Leinster, we would be hoping that they'll be competitive and they'll learn, and that's pretty much what these games are for too, isn't it?
It is, and it was structured to help teams like that. But Kerry got a really tough draw. Kerry were thrown in at the top end with Dublin, Westford and Offaly, and as you know, Donal, Offaly in the All-Ireland final last year, like, so you got a really tough draw and being thrown in tier one. And like, you've Galway actually came in as well in that minor side, so you've Galway actually in tier one on the other side as well, like, so it's a really tough draw. Right, we leave Munster, where we go, we've got the Leinster, it's worse up here. Look, it's a learning curve, and with it as well, like, these, that's been a huge effort. Jerome and the management team, all the lads involved there, had put in a huge effort. And affairs, and they're really dedicated guys. But it's going to be a tough gig. It really is going to put it up to them. But I'd have faith in them. Have a go. Like, it's like no difference to Kerry seniors and Kerry 20s. Have a go. The Kerry 20s, I expect them. They've been in good shape. I've been watching a few games and a few less sessions. Really good team they've done. And there's some really good players. Sean Mansell and Tiger, the lads over the management team there, have done a huge job with him, and they're really in good shape. I expect good things from those lads. They're a really good team.
Richard, a Kerry jersey at any level is something that's very special. I mean, minor hurling, football, under 20s and the whole lot. I mean, it will mean an awful lot to these lads at minor and under 20 to pull on a Kerry jersey and compete at championship level. And I suppose it'll showcase too, Richard, the amount of good work that's going on in our Kerry within the clubs, that obviously they're turning over new players all the time. So, I mean, this is a proud moment as well as a probably, I won't say a historic moment because we've probably been there before. But, I mean, it's all good in that sense.
Yeah, I see the amount of work to the lads put in now, you know, and they're training very, very hard for it. They're really up for it, and I think that they can, you know, put in a great, great performance. But it's all part of a progression. It's all part of development of Kerry hurling, and you know, the most important thing is that they develop from this, and they go on then obviously, and hopefully someday they'll wear the senior jersey. But you know, it's very, very important that we continue to grow, and we will grow by playing, you know, teams, you know, in Leinster, the likes of Carlow, maybe if we step up from tier two to tier one in the under 20s, we'll be playing against better teams again, and it is by playing better teams that you get better.
Absolutely. Speaking of better teams and better results, James, the Kerry Minor Camogie players, fantastic win at the weekend.
Oh, huge win again, Donal. It's when you're a dad of a daughter on the team, it's tough going. You've got to travel the country.
You stayed sitting down, did you, James?
It's not easy. I mean, and with it, I know all the girls well as you. I was with them the last 2 years as Kerry's Camogie manager, so I know all these girls. And you know, it kind of, all these girls I've known them since they were, geez, under 10s and the 12s all the way up along, because my daughters are involved as well. Like, and so it's brilliant to see them going so well. I think we found our proper level now. Last year maybe we were kind of against teams that were a little bit ahead of us, and I think it doesn't really do us confidence any good. But with a huge win last week against Mayo and beat Down this week, two good wins, and it was tough up in Banagher yesterday. Now the weather was poor and conditions were bad enough, like, but it looks like Armagh could be the team to beat in this division, and hopefully we'll make a league final there, or maybe make the All-Ireland final there, and it'll be lovely to get into a final. But another win now, that might secure them for the semi-final place. Maybe even at this stage, after two good wins, there might be in a semi-final spot, because there's six teams, I think the first four are going to a semi-final. So good days for Tennis Bogey, senior and minor, with the seniors hopefully making a league final too. So it'll be great.
They're going very well at the moment as well. A lot of good work being done there. It's come to fruition now, of course, the good work for years and years. James, final question on that. Are you a good spectator when your daughter is playing?
Don't you play with me now, soccer?
you should have asked me that question, Norman.
Would we be safe to say no comment? No, I'd be a good spectator, I would, but it's very hard when you're, like, I've been a player myself, and when my daughter's playing, I find it really tough. really tough. It's kind of my heart is kind of nearly in my mouth more times. There's ways around saying myself. I can blame myself. I can't blame my poor daughters.
When she gets back into the car after the game, do you give her the post match commentary?
She won't travel the car. She goes home in the bus.
she's pretty wise.
She's safer.
Richard, finally, we'll finish up on it. Of course, you're a former PRO of the Camogie as well. It really has come a long way in a short space of time, hasn't it?
Yeah, but I suppose, as James said there, the amount of work that has been put in is, is phenomenal. I mean, all the players coming up along there now, they have, and James would have trained them as well. You know, like Emma Conway and all those players, I don't know, they were always excellent players, and there was always great potential there. And, you know, from a small pick, there is great quality. There mightn't be the quantity, but there is great quality in Kerry Camogie. And as I said before, they're punching above their weight, and brilliant, absolutely. But they're so dedicated to their sport, and that is, you know, and they love their sport, and that's a massive, massive plus.
Mm-hmm. Well said. I thought you were talking about the hurling pundits that we had there. We have great quality, but not massive quantity there. James and Richard, listen, guys, thanks very much for joining us this evening. And we will tune in next week as well. James, keep that positivity up. Semi final next week. If you can do it for 3 weeks in a row, James, you know you'll be on a good spin. James, did you ever do a bit of athletics?
I couldn't, not committed enough. There was no ball involved, so I don't know what I'd be running for.
I'd say you could throw a shot putter or a javelin maybe or something.
I don't know about that. Maybe one time only. We're a bit old now, and we're landing the cubes, but we do try and play a bit of over 35 soccer if we get a Clary Lecky somewhere there. Maybe Massagee next year again, we'll be over there again.
That's right, we'll have to win that cup next year definitely, because we certainly can't be the youngest over 35s ever. Come here, stay tuned after the break. Tomás Griffin is joining us in studio, and we're going to talk Kerry Athletics, all sorts of things, and later on we're dipping in as well with the Regional Development Officer Olivia Scully-Hanney there as well. So stay tuned for the rest of the thing. But listen, guys, thanks very much for joining us this evening. It's always a pleasure. Always leaves with a good smile, and the very best of luck to the Kerry Minors and the Kerry Under-20s as well, as they get ready for the Leinster Championship. And of course, to Stephen Malumpy in next week's semi-final, which is above in Tullamore at 2 o'clock next Saturday. And hopefully we'll have a league final to look after that. We'll take a break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Very, very welcome back to Terrace Talk. Donal Barry here till 8 o'clock this evening, and we change tack, we put the balls away, and we start talking about athletics. And of course, Tomás Griffin joins us again. It's amazing, Tomás. I mean, every time that we kind of catch up, it's amazing how much time goes apart from the last time we met, but the amount of events and I suppose sporting happenings and a whole lot. But it's been a good couple of weeks for Kerry athletes, both national and international.
Absolutely, Donal. Jam-packed since the last time we spoke. January the 30th, I think, was the last time we chatted. So there's been a lot on indoor athletics and a little bit of roads and some cross-country winding up as well. But before we get to that, I suppose a big thing for us in athletics is one of our volunteers is being recognised at a national level. So that's Jean Courtney. Jean is out of Killarney, does a lot of work with Killarney Valley AC, but also volunteers with the Kerry County Board and Munster Athletics as well. So what has happened for Jean is she's been selected by the Federation of Irish Sport and being acknowledged this coming week with other volunteers across the country for their work on a national level. They're getting a national award. So for Jean, that's a fantastic recognition of, I suppose, decades of work and decades of work that will come after the award as well. So she's a lady that doesn't seek out accolades, but it's
it's an incredible award as well, and even a reward, I suppose, for the amount of, I suppose, unseen work that people do. I mean, and volunteers really build up all sports. I mean, athletics no special or no different, needing volunteers. And it's a great recognition, I suppose, at the end of the amount of time. And she's not retiring, she told me. We're also going to help her do a few kind of interview skills, techniques, because I was speaking to her last night and she said she'd be far too nervous to do it. But I mean, they're the kind of people that are involved, aren't they? It's the nervous types that do nearly all the work at different stages. They're the people that collect the results, they're the people that open the gate and the whole lot, and we'd be lost without volunteers.
Absolutely. So like a week and a half ago, Jean with one or two other volunteers was running the county road championships with the county board. You know, two nights before that, she was coaching kids inside in Killarney Valley AC, and then during the week, she would have been entering athletes for championships that were Munster championships and national championships. So, you know, tons of work going on where the people that are coaching couldn't be coaching without somebody in the background holding up all of the club structures and club governance, as well as a lot of the doing. So people like Gene doing that is fantastic when it's recognised, and the sport couldn't survive without it.
Yeah, congratulations, Gene. Well deserved. Now, let's get running and let's get on the track maybe.
Absolutely. So things that have happened since we last spoke. So February the 5th, the National Masters Championships was on in Athlone, indoor championships. And in Kerry, there was quite a few performers and there was a lot of medalists. So just going to run quickly through those. You had from St. Brendan's AC, you had a number of people taking gold medals in race walking. So it's interesting to see that at Masters level in St. Brendan's AC in Ardfert, they're putting in a lot of effort around the totality of the sport. So it ain't just about the juveniles, it's about involving people beyond the typical perceived level. So you had Serena Griffin took a gold medal in the women's 35, Arthur Novak in the men's 50, and David Cassan in the men's 65. So quite a demographic range, and also covering the genders as well there, which is very important around the inclusivity of athletics as a sport. You had from Rioch DC, Jor Crimmin, a man that we've mentioned before, won the gold medal in the men's 60 metre hurdles, and Mike Lynch, also from Rioch, took a silver medal in the men's 35-60. Just referring to Jor as well, Jor went out to the US a week and a half ago and he won the US Masters Championships. So it just shows you the level of performance that's going on across some of these performances, that it might be perceived as Masters athletics to be recreational.
And that would be massively high level going to America to race it, because obviously while we're trying to be better here, I mean, America has really embraced the whole Masters culture and the whole lot, and he would be up against really good athletes.
Absolutely, and there's a lot of former elites still involved in Masters athletics in Ireland and Europe and beyond. But in the States, for instance, a famous wide receiver in American football, a guy called Tyreek Hill, who was one of the fastest guys out of high school athletics, who is now playing American football, he raced in one of the younger categories in Masters athletics in the US. So that's the standard that, you know, needs to be achieved. He ran 6.70 seconds for 60 metres, which is incredibly fast. So that's Jor, in a way, performing well and still keeping the standard high. From Tralee Harriers in the Masters, Patsy O'Connor, a man who I know you'd know very, very well. He's thrown shot put javelin discus through the decades, and
he's had to build a second house for the amount of prizes.
Well, his son Alan is after entering the Masters category as well. So not only did Patsy medal, but Alan also, his first year in Masters athletics, men's 35, he took a silver medal in the men's 35 shot put. So it's great to see the legacy continuing, and those guys are doing great coaching in the sport as well. From Killarney Valley, you had Alan Delaney in the men's 40 high jump. Alan is a former elite high jumper, still ranked in the top 10 all time high jump, to 11 personal best. So Alan has come back into the sport and is coaching also on a local level, so he's showing the younger athletes also how it's done and still jumping great heights. From Kinmare, you had Vincent White. He took medals in both the men's 45 high jump and long jump as well. So a wide range of events happening for the Masters on February the 5th. Then we progress on, I suppose, to the next thing that happened. The next thing that happened was February the 12th, the Munster Senior Indoor Championships happened, and that was happening in advance of the National Senior Championships that we refer to. So in the Munster Seniors, you had a big name in athletics, David Kenny, who we've spoken about many times, Olympian. David Kenny from Farnforth, Main Valley, not only did he win the gold medal in the Munster Championships, but he also broke the national record for the 5K indoor walk. So to put it in perspective, the holder of that record was Rob Heffernan, who is an Olympian and who is David's coach now. The record that he did was 18 minutes 42 seconds, and the 5K outdoor record, European record, is 19 minutes. So David Kenny went faster than the European record indoors, which is harder than outdoors. So what an unbelievable performance. And for race walking, there's now kids in Kerry starting to come back into race walking through clubs that are developing it. So the likes of David, I suppose, taking up the mantle from other previous greats from Killarney. For instance, you have Gillian O'Sullivan, who won a World Championships medal many, many years ago, representing Farnforth, Main Valley. So look, there's a great tradition in Kerry, so hopefully that's going to reignite. In the sprints in the senior athletics, Listowel Athletics, we've spoken about Listowel. They have a good culture building where they've got older teens. We spoke to Megan Lynch, for instance, a couple of shows back. More of them coming out of the woodwork. Not only did Megan Lynch take a silver medal in the senior ladies 60 metres, but a younger athlete, Saoirse Dillon, who I think has just turned 16, she took the bronze medal in the senior ladies 60 metre sprint. Not only is the girls doing it, but the men's 200 metres senior, first, second and third were all Listowel AC athletes. So again, something very positive happening there from a sprints point of view. 400 metres, your two sisters, Emma and Rachel Nealon, gold and silver, 400 metres, both out of Listowel AC as well. So fantastic to see it. The 200 metre guys I referenced, Brendan O'Leary, Johnny O'Sullivan and Louis O'Connell, first, second and third. They also then teamed up with another athlete, Sean O'Mahony, and they won the senior men's 4x200 metre relay title. So, you know, again, lots of things happening in pockets across Kerry. In the senior ladies athletics, then long jump, Kira Kennelly from Killarney, normally a high jumper, has been dabbling with long jump. She won the senior ladies long jump in a massive jump of 5.69 metres. So interesting to see what Kira's going to do if she continues this experiment with long jump. 5.69 would definitely challenge for medals at senior ladies level long jump. So maybe she can double up on that in future. So it's great to see how that involves. Dara Looney, Killarney Valley AC, won the senior men's long jump. And Ty Galvin from Killarney Valley AC won the senior men's 400 metres as well. So again, lots of clubs being spoken about there and lots of geographies in Kerry. Tralee, which has had a fantastic history in athletics, an interesting name that popped up in the results was Jack Morgan. Jack Morgan is a guy that did athletics in his younger days. I think he played football at a reasonably high level with Austin Stacks, I think.
Kerry Minor,
yeah. So he's now in his mid-20s. Interesting to see him popping up in athletics again. I suppose one of his first loves. He took a silver medal in the senior men's 60 metres in a really good time of 7.26 seconds. So he's back doing some sort of training in athletics. So we're going to be watching closely to see evolves there, you know. So shows you that there can be a great crossover between the sports. If there was a way of managing the seasons and helping the athletes be dual sport athletes. Looking at other sports in the world where that's done very well, for instance, the Super Bowl in American football, which was on only in the past couple of weeks, you had a wide receiver from the Philadelphia Eagles. His name is Devon Allen. Devon Allen also represented his country, the USA, in 110 metre hurdles in the World Championships. So in that sport, they're allowing people to do two sports. Oh. So again, I wonder, I suppose, I know this is a GAA show, but is this something that we could be more collaborative at in figuring out how to facilitate that? So well, let's watch this space and see what happens there. So that was the Munster seniors. Then moving on to the, I suppose, the big showcase is the Indoor Senior Athletics Championships that happened on the 19th of February, 19th and 20th. It happens over a weekend. It's obviously televised, so hopefully listeners saw it on TV. You had six Kerry athletes competing at senior level in the National Senior Championships. So centre stage, and one of the most high profile ones was the ladies 60 metre sprint, where Sarah Leahy, who again we've spoken to on the show previously, Sarah from Killarney Valley AC, won the gold medal in the ladies 60 metres.
And very impressively too.
Oh, the time that was run, 7.30 seconds. So we love to kind of, I suppose for your listeners, that wouldn't be necessarily all athletics people, to put it in context, right? So Sarah's average speed during that 60 metres was 30 kilometres an hour. Sarah's maximum speed hit at the 40 metre point was 35 kilometres an hour. And it's not just Sarah, the girls around her who were all...
And that's from a standing start, like...
Oh, it, you know, and when you see that live, it's very, very impressive. So that was a massive achievement.
Just to give listeners a view, I suppose, you come in, you watch a race, it's 7 seconds, it's all over and the whole lot. I mean, the amount of training that goes in to get that perfect 7.64 or whatever it was, I mean, it's hours and hours and hours and hours doing possibly the same thing all over again.
Absolutely. Like, there's, for to any sprint race, there's five phases to it. So there's five different things that need to be rehearsed outside of the strength and conditioning and all that other stuff that goes on. So, you know, it's over in 7 seconds. You get one of those five things wrong, game over, on to the next race. So I suppose that's the beauty of athletics then, is that you can probably analyse down within those five phases the part that's your weakness, and then decide, am I working on my strengths, or am I working on my weakness, or am I going to try and work on everything? So lots of life lessons from the sport then, you know, where sometimes you need to reflect and analyse and then go back to the drawing board. So, you know, 7 seconds doesn't give you a lot of thinking space. So again, that's where the coaches come into play. Coaches being able to give feedback back to the athletes around what they observed, and working from there and working as a team. Mm-hmm. So the other athletes that would have competed at senior level was David Kenny. David Kenny won the gold medal in the race walk again, up against a field that contained, you know, top class guys that are at world championship level. So again, race walking at a very, very high standard. Kira Kennelly from Killarney Valley AC took a bronze medal in the senior ladies high jump. So out of the six competitors, Kerry taking three medals, which is fantastic. Remember, this is the showcase.
The elite.
The other athletes that competed was Basit Oyabanji and Killian Griffin, both sprinters from Tralee Harriers. both guys in the sport a long time. Both of them ran quick times, but again, when you're up against the likes of Israel Olatunde, who your listeners have seen on TV, you need to be probably at European World Championship level. Bassiet and Killian are both 11 seconds or sub 11 second 100 metre sprinters, right? Killian ran 6.80 seconds for 60 metres a week after the national championships. Kilometres per hour wise, those guys are touching 40 kilometres an hour. You know, so incredible to see that and to know that there's athletes like these guys from Kerry involved in the sport and in their 20s now. Darrow O'Leary from Killarney Valley AC was the sole distance runner from Kerry in the sport. He did the 3,000 metres. He got a PB of just over 9 minutes. So again, Kerry was covering all the various disciplines there, and again, male and female. So fantastic to see that and be able to see the clubs supporting their athletes and achieving that stuff out of Kerry.
And of course, it's great to see, I suppose, the vest that says your club on the main screen as well when it goes up with all the Dublin clubs and the Galways and the Donegal clubs and the whole lot. I mean, the pride alone there. But then, like you said, to go, and it's not good enough anymore for Kerry people just to want to be there. They want to win. They're getting on the podium. I mean, three of the six brought home medals. I mean, the three that didn't, obviously, you know, they were all in the mix as well. So it's not. We've gone past the age of Kerry people just wanting to get to finals. Now we want to compete. We want to win, and that's healthy.
Absolutely, you know that, and this is the culture within the clubs now. At this stage, the technology has moved on, facilities have moved on. So, you know, moving beyond the local championships and knowing that, you know, you're entitled to be there in the big championships in these super stadiums that we've available now in Ireland between Athlone and the NIA in Dublin. You know, these stadiums you wouldn't get any place else in Europe, so there are no excuses. So the athletes aren't using excuses, which is fantastic to see. Mm-hmm. And again, the younger kids aspiring to do this. So in athletics in Kerry at the moment, there's 1,361 members registered. So that's a lot participating in the sport. It's like a triangle, I suppose, Donald, when you look at it. You know, the base is big and the base is full of kids. So those 1,361 members, 916 of them at the moment are kids that are juveniles. Juveniles are 8-year-olds to 15-year-olds. So we don't have a problem in the sport of getting kids into it. The challenges kick off, though, from age 15, 16 up to age 19, where exams, other activities, all this sort of stuff is a challenge. So there's 81 kids registered in that age group out of that 1,361 in that age group. So that's where we need to focus our attention in the sport, and that's where we try to work the retention piece. Generally, when kids are involved at that age, they're probably, you know, really showing talent. Mm-hmm. But we definitely need more kids participating in the sport in that age group. At senior level, there's 48 registered senior athletes. They'd be age 20 up to age 34. Again, we need to grow that base. Masters athletes are 316 and growing. So we're growing at juvenile, we're growing at masters. The squeeze middle, which is really where we should be focusing our attention, and that's the purpose of this show, is providing a spotlight onto the achievements of those athletes in that age group. Hopefully we get more in and we figure out ways of collaborating as well with other sports, that there's talent everywhere and maybe we can help each other out.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. We'll talk a bit more about that in a while as well, Tomás. It's amazing. 48 senior athletes, 81. The 81 number is something that would jump out at me. I mean, I suppose every sport has a problem kind of retaining, I suppose, people of a certain age within the sport, and like you said, you have pressures of exams and all other sorts of things going. Does that mean that your 1,361 must be an awful lot bigger to keep people in, or are they falling out otherwise?
Yeah, I suppose, number one, can the clubs cope with more than 1,361? So getting coaches on board is a challenge. So, but yeah, realistically, you would need more participating and enjoying it. And maybe more local competitions to give, you know, new people coming to the sport, that it's not the Munster Championships they need to be going to experience competition. Maybe we can do more locally. But I think figuring out ways of involving a team element in what's viewed as being an individual sport. So, for instance, relay teams. There are three relay teams going to be competing next weekend from Kerry in the National 4x200 Relay Championships. So those teams are out of Farnforth Main Valley. You've got an under-15 boys team competing in a 4x200. That's Conor McCarty, Kevin O'Shea, Isaac Vickers, Ryan Vickers. I was just talking to their coach half an hour ago about trying to collaborate with them and help them out with a bit of training in our facility in Killarney. So great to see that. Hopefully that will retain those guys in the sport. There's a girls under-17 team from Listowel AC. Saoirse Dillon, who we mentioned, Tally Collins, is a long jumper who's experimenting with sprinting. Emma Nealon, who we mentioned, and Molly O'Riordan, they're in the under 17 girls 4x200. And then from Killarney Valley, the under 19 boys, there is a team which has Jason O'Reilly, Keane O'Brien, Ty Galvin, Oisín Lynch. So two internationals in that team. And, you know, those teams are competing against Dundrum South Dublin, Lee Vale, competing against the biggest clubs in the country. I'd say out of those three teams I just mentioned, we'll probably have two teams medalling at a national level, if not three.
Geez, you're more positive than James McCarthy, is we better keep you. Come here, we have to take a break though, and after the break we'll talk to Olivia Scully-Henny and we'll keep talking to Tomás as well.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Yeah, listen to Terrace Talk on here until 8 o'clock this evening with Donald Barry. We're talking athletics and we're talking all athletics, Kerry, of course, with Tomás Griffin. We do it regularly enough at the moment. A new face on the scene, of course, is Olivia Scully-Henny. She is the new athletic development officer, I suppose, providing assistance to clubs, I suppose, or maybe she might even tell me herself what the role is. She's the regional development officer, and congratulations, Olivia, on your new role. Since you've got appointed to your new role, have you got a greater understanding, or have you got more of an understanding of the role, or is the role that keeps just developing each time that you go to Innes and Tralee and Clonakilty and the whole lot?
Well, I'm actually only in the role 5 weeks, Donal. Thanks a million for having me on on your grade, and I'm delighted to be here. I see Kerry as a second home for me, having spent all my summers there growing up as a child. It's definitely a role that can throw anything at you. It's a role that's fluid, and it's covering all athletics. It's covering athletics from a participation side to a performance development side. So it's a wide role to cover, and not just the RDO for Kerry. I'm also looking after Cork, Clare and Limerick. So there is a lot that entails in it. But as Tomás said there in his talk, there's so much talent in Kerry at the moment. It's absolutely fantastic. And it's fantastic achievement by Jean as well to achieve the Volunteer Award of the Year. It's not given to every county, so it's a huge achievement for Kerry to receive that. And the facilities as well in Kerry, it's something to be very proud of. At the moment in Limerick and Cork, we're without high jump gear, for example. So in Kerry, you have two. You have there in Castle Island and in Killarney. In Limerick, we don't even have field events. We have no throwing. We have no javelin, discus, hammer, no pole vault. So you have an awful lot to be proud of there in Kerry. And it was very interesting to hear. I listened in as well to hear the hurling commentary, and they were talking about fluidity, and they were talking about not being on form for match play. What's interesting to me, what I love and passionate about athletics, I think when you come from a family that's steeped in athletics history, it's in your blood. And when you look at the GAA, when it was founded back in 1884, it was founded as the Gaelic Athletic Association.
The late Gerry Kiernan would be very proud of you. It was his argument for life, I'd say.
Yes, and the crux of it is, when it was first founded, it was for the accessibility to the masses for athletics, and also to revive and nurture our indigenous sports. And for me, and I'll get into any argument with anybody, athletics to me is the oldest sport, because I can guarantee you that the cavemen, when they were sitting around, they said to each other, I'll race you to that rock. And also what's fascinating as well is one of the closest chances for Kerry to come to an Olympic medal was back in 1932, Los Angeles Olympic Games. Eamon Fitzgerald from Carrigdaniel, he jumped 15.01 meters to come fourth in the triple jump. He was just 11 centimeters off coming third. But what I find really almost funny about this is Willie Banks, the former record holder for the triple jump. I heard an interview from him just recently enough, and he was talking about the origins of the triple jump, and he said it originated in Ireland, and it originated as a drinking game. So athletics is very old. It's definitely the foundation to all sport. That's the message I'd like to bring out, to remind people of the importance of athletics. Like, therefore, when you're listening to your other speakers there about fluidity, how to periodization of training plans, how to peak, how to hold performance, agility, speed, explosive speed. Tomás touched on it there about how depth, detail athletic coaches go to break down movement, the biomechanics of movement, the fluidity of movement, how to improve performance. These things you get from a coach. You can study these things as some in college, but to really get it from the cutting edge of performance, you're best going to the source. The source is the coach. Athletics is pioneering. Just last week, we lost one of the great pioneers. My event was the high jump. My love is the high jump. And we lost the great Dick Fosbury.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Dick Fosbury, as you may know, he invented the Fosbury flop. That did not come from science. That did not come from university. That came from him intuitively knowing how to jump, intuitively knowing that his hips needed to go higher. How could he get it higher? He wasn't. He was not a good high jumper. He wasn't even making the college team. And he went on to win the Olympics and set world records. So,
yeah. And it must have been very brave, just touching on that for a second. I mean, obviously 10 people were doing it one way. He'd done it another way. I presume at the time it was a very brave move, even on his behalf, to do something like that.
Completely. And that they didn't even, he didn't even have this, at that time he was jumping into straw. Everyone else was doing the straddle or the western roll, and he was jumping into straw. And when people were laughing at him in the beginning, but then they stopped laughing when they saw that it was working for him, that he did win the Olympics. And it was the quickest conversion then for everyone to adapt his modality. And now nobody uses the western roll or the straddle anymore. It is the Fosbury flop, and it's 2 meters 45. Javier Sotomayor set that back in the '80s.
Olivia, I tell you, you're not a long distance runner because you're flying through here, and the clock is killing us. Come here very quickly, yeah, before we wrap up on it. Athletics. If I'm at home tonight and I want to join a club, where do I go? How do I do it? Do I look at the newspaper? Do I find and basically the support that you provide for athletic clubs? I presume it's a whole lot of kind of coaching and delivering education and all that, is it?
Yeah, 100%. And what I would say to anyone, athletics has something for everybody in the audience, literally. So as Tomás was saying there, we have a lot for juveniles, we have a lot for masters, from 5 to 105. And then there, as I always say, there's an event for everybody. And track and field alone, we have over 30 events. That's not including the road, that's not including cross country. So if there's quite a few areas in Kerry at the moment that don't have an athletics club, that have a large population, say for Dingle, for example. So if you're thinking of setting up even participation, Keep Fit for Life, Couch to 5K, if you enjoy running or getting fit, athleticsireland.ie, go onto our website and you can contact us through our website. And you need 10 members to set up a club. If you want to set up a club, if you want to join a club, go onto our website, athleticsireland.ie, and go into Find a Club. And there you get a list of clubs in your county, and you can contact those clubs directly. Equally, anybody listening can contact me as well. I'd also love to say, too, what Tomás threw in there about volunteers. In athletics, we have an open-arm policy. We need volunteers. Whether that be coaching, whether that be assisting on committees and running clubs, whether that be if you don't even have enough time to come along in support of a volunteer at officiating at competitions, it's the best way to give back. It's absolutely fantastic. And also for mature athletes, people who are aging, it's not just there about long distance running. As we age, the first thing we lose is our strength, our mobility. So in athletics, we have other events as well that can focus on improving your strength and mobility, be that throws, be that jumps. So there's something there for everybody.
Fair play to you. All wrapped up there fairly quickly. Olivia, listen, we'll have to chat another time. We'll have to put you on early in the show, to be honest with you, because
I'll take an hour.
We'll put you in with James McCarthy here, because he's mad to run very fast as well. Here, listen, thanks very much for joining us this evening. It won't be the last time you'll talk to us, I promise you that. Poor old Tomás here, he put on the suit and everything tonight, and now he's about 20 seconds to say goodbye to me. But listen, it was enjoyable to talk, and you're dead right. Gerry Kiernan has always made that argument that GAA was an athletic association. He was still proud of his county championship medal that he won with Field Rangers as well at minor level, but running was certainly his first sport, and we certainly miss him all the time. Olivia, thanks very much for joining us this evening. Tomás, very, very quickly, we're in the last 20 seconds a lot. A couple of events to look forward to?
Yeah, things coming up. World Masters Indoor Athletics Championships are on in Turun, Poland. There's one or two Kerry guys competing out there, kicking off next weekend. Juvenile National Indoors is kicking off with relays next weekend, that I mentioned. Locally, the Kerry Sports Hall Games for all the youngsters is kicking off over in Killorglin, so a lot's happening in the next few weeks.
Fair play to you. Yeah, absolutely. I think I might even have a young for the once because of that as well, if you can find the time and date for him. Listen, thanks very much for joining us tonight, Tomás, and keeping us up to date. Olivia Scully Henny as well, our hurling pundits, James McCarthy, Rich Darder, Foran, Dan Kearney, of course, with the ladies. And earlier we had Dinny Long and, of course, John Kennedy. Up next is Mary. Is Mary dear? I haven't seen her in a long time. Mary Talksus, is it? I took a Talksus last week and I had no chance to wave at you at all. And thanks very much for Keane and Ivan sitting over there in the chair as usual at this hour of the evening. Fair play to you. Thank you very much, and we'll do it all again next week.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.